episode 235. Gotta pod fast.
Too slow. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Buzzwolf.
And we're doing another episode here in iCast. Holy crap. Two in a row.
because we're taking a break next week.
I know, right?
And the week after.
And the week after?
Well, no. I mean, we'll probably have a special episode.
Oh, right.
The week after.
Yeah, we'll have an extra special.
Extra super duper special episode.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be worth the 2 week wait.
Yes. Just like Gabe, it's worth the wait.
What?
What's Gabe?
Gabe Newell. It's
a joke. Oh, the Minecraft guy?
No.
Half-Life 3. Oh, okay. Right.
The joke is he's a big dude.
Oh, is
Except
he?
He's lost a lot of weight, too.
That's terrible. Okay.
Anyways.
Sorry.
Now that I've had to explain the joke, it's not funny.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm like, yeah, somebody called me a savage or something because I didn't get some kind of fucking video game reference. And I was like, I hate saying I don't play video games because it sounds like those hipster douchebags that are like, I don't watch TV.
I don't own a television.
It's like, aren't you a special snowflake?
Yeah, well, but I seriously don't play video games, and I don't say it to sound superior.
You just don't.
I just don't play video games.
It's okay. So, yeah, it's been another week, and we're all still alive, and we got a lot of emails to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot going on, just
prepping for a con.
Yeah, pressing X to not die.
I had a nice weekend of not traveling out of town at all. That was a novelty for me.
Well, it's been kind of nice, actually. I've had the house to myself since Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because
I have devolved into a hideous man beast with no sleep schedule and no pants.
Pants are overrated.
It's like the 5 day comic strip of Dilbert working from home.
Yeah.
And his beard growth just gets worse and worse. And
He's wearing less and less clothes.
And at the end, he's naked. He's got like caveman hair all over him. Shit piling up on the desk.
I've been getting stuff done, though. It's like when I don't have to worry about waking up other people, I can get recording done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're not at OakleyCon this week, unfortunately. It's just because all our schedules just didn't mesh with OakleyCon this year. And
you had con, and I had a trip. And
I used up all my time off already because I had extra cons this year. And yeah, so I am actually going to OakleyCon, but I'm only going to be there for a day and a half.
Yeah, well,
so it'll be a very short in and out and done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, you get to
see hi to people and, you know, again, tell them in public person, it's not you, it's us.
Tell them in public.
Basically, I'm looking forward to being on a road trip because I like a three, four hour drive where it's just me. I can listen to audiobooks and stuff. I'm going to get to the con. I'll say hi to a few friends. I'll hang out a bit. I got an awesome room with a jacuzzi, so I'm just going to chill out and read and stuff. Half the time I'm there, I might not even be at the con. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping to maybe catch, like, Wolf and Horse's Ghost one evening with the hookah. And, just to chill in their cabin or whatever, like we've done before.
But yeah, I've already been validated in my decision not to go this year because OakleyCon doesn't have cell reception, and I've already had two things come up that would have required my full attention that I wouldn't have been able to complete if I was out in the wilds of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're needed at home.
I'm needed at home. My planet needs me. So, yeah, it's a
planet convention.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've learned my lesson.
Yeah, and I had that big trip up to the Northeast, which ate up a lot of time and money. So something had to go, and OakleyCon, unfortunately, was the closest thing to it, so it suffered this year. I do plan on going back next year, so it's not a permanent, fuck off. Mm-hmm. And it's no fault of the con itself, just to make that clear, because it just seems like everybody's had issues making it up there this year, and want people to know that it's not OakleyCon, it's just shit happened.
Yeah. Different shit happened for like 7 different people I know that normally would be able to go and are not able to this year.
Yeah. So,
all right.
What did you guys do this week? Anything?
No, not really. Just recording divisions, which, you know, if you like audiobooks and you like Kyle Gold's Isolation or Out of Position series, you should totally pick up the two audiobooks that I recorded of the first two books. I'm working on the third.
Yep. And available now at audible.com.
Yep.
You are not a sponsor, but fuck it. Saverin gets a kickback.
Yes, you should totally go and buy yourself some audiobooks.
Yeah.
Keeping it in the fandom.
Keeping it real, yo.
So, I actually read a furry book this week.
Have you finished it already?
Yep.
Oh, okay, cool.
Rahata loaned me Bernard Deuce, a.k.a. Goldfurs, Flight of the Phoenix, which some of these sections were published before on his website, but it's been compiled into a really nice book. And it was actually surprisingly decent. I mean, I like his stories, but everything just flowed together really well. I actually really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It does have Chakats in it, but it's not a Chakat-centric story. They're characters, but that's not the focus. They're just crew members. But there's a couple. Just
the background furniture.
Kind of, yeah.
They're the gravity couches.
So it was actually really good. I recommend picking it up.
Cool. I know he's an artist, too. Did he do the cover art as well?
He did, but no, that was Casey.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Casey Miyagami doing that.
She's done some stuff like
that. Oh, God. Yeah. I would love to get a commission for her, but I've never gotten into any of her commission pools.
You know, I know her name, but I don't think I've ever really seen a lot of her
artwork.
She does
really cute fuzzy girls.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Really, really good real media artist.
Mm, all right.
So,
because she's an old school artist, right? Like on the level of like Bruton and
Natasha. Yeah, she's been around for
a long, I don't know if she's that old, but yeah, she's been doing art for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at least a decade, I think.
Probably, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But she does really cute stuff, clean and not. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't do like really explicit stuff.
No, she can do cheesecakes. She can do a little bit, but it's usually not hard sex.
Oh God, cheesecake is such a. Oh, sorry, that's not what we're talking about.
So,
oh,
yeah, but wait. Yeah, it's usually cheesecake pinup, but not explicit sex. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I was just saying I recognize the name, but I haven't seen a lot of her stuff.
Which is, you know, she's really popular. Done a lot of work. She's also really expensive because she works in real media.
I'm not sure if I mentioned it last week, but I finished Doctor Sleep last week, which is Stephen King's latest book.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sequel to The Shining, which I really enjoyed, so I recommend that, you know, if you want to pick that up. I don't get a kickback or anything. I'm just saying it was a good book. I've also started to poke around that free... Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's her stuff.
Cool. Remember that free ebook I told y'all about, the one from Tor.com that was like 5 years of their free stories?
Neat.
It's, kind of.
Yeah, it is. They put it out for their 5-year anniversary of Tor.com. It is fucking huge. Like, I had read 3 stories and my Kindle still said 1%.
Wow.
You know, it's just massive. Like, you see, you know, on the Kindle, you see the little progress bar that has the little dots for where there's a chapter break.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a massive cluster because there's so many stories in this book. But it's a real good mix of stuff. Actually, the one I just finished is actually a really neat concept. There was basically the guy can see the future.
Mm-hmm.
The girl can see all the possible futures. Mm-hmm. So she could see what would happen if she did this and stuff like that. So they have this disagreement because it's the question of whether the future is set and you can't change it, which is what the guy believes because he can see the future. And or whether you have free will and you have a choice. Which is, she sees
multiple.
And she sees multiple, so her opinion is, if I make this other decision, if I go right instead of left, it will slightly change my future.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're dating, and they both know how it'll end because they've seen this. But it's really neat because the whole crux of the story is that argument of whether you have free will to change your future or not.
I've been.
That was very cool.
Go back.
I've been reading, and I've been picking at it for a couple of weeks. I picked up from the Bane for Your Library, which somebody.
I need to check that out.
I picked up a couple of novels by a variety of authors. I picked up one called There Will Be Dragons by John Ringo. It's interesting. I mean, it's one of those ones where I can't decide if I like it or not. It's got some interesting concepts, but some of it's really hokey. But again, some of the interesting concepts make it keep going. I kind of felt the same way about the Lightbringer series by Brent Weeks. Kind of goofy magic system, but interesting concepts, so I kind of kept going through the entire series. And the magic system in the Lightbringer series really put me off at the beginning. It's like, really? This is kind of dumb. But the characters sucked me in, so yeah, I hope his third book is at least as the characters remain interesting. So.
And you've been reading, but differently. You've been reading Divisions, but out loud at your microphone.
That's slightly different.
But since you haven't actually read the book before, you're getting to read it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm kind of enjoying the fact that I haven't read the book before, and this is both an opportunity to read it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And read it so that other people can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Now, how does that work? I mean, is it just do you read like the chapter you're going to do ahead of time to kind of get familiar with it, or are you just reading it as you go?
A bit of both. I just go through and kind of figure out like who, you know, what characters in this chapter. You know, it's like what voices do I need to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know how far ahead you were writing, reading whatever.
But some of it's also just sight reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, this chapter is only between Dev and Lee, and you know, I don't have to do too much in the way of voices, and I can just read it.
Because
this one has his mom, and he's doing the Bacali voice, and there's this cop who has just described his voice as being low and deep.
Yeah.
And, oh, shit, Mikhail's in here. God damn it, that fucker, I don't like him.
And,
I can never tell. I mean, this is one of those things that I've never gotten in the stories, is if the Dev's family is supposed to be Russian or Greek.
Russian.
Oh, okay. I made the right choice then. I made the right guess.
Yeah.
But it was one of those, I couldn't tell, because Mikhail can be a Greek name too.
Oh, I didn't know that. I always equated to Russian.
Yeah.
But Miski is a very Russian last name. So.
But it also sounds like a fucking cartoon villain name too.
Miski?
I guess by itself.
Dr. Miski.
Because I'd actually been prompted to ask that same question when I listened to one of the audiobooks, because I was like, wow, how did he know to read that line of dialogue in that tone unless you had read ahead and you know that the character's going to react a certain way? Because sometimes, I mean, you could be reading it and give it completely the wrong cadence if you didn't know how.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So, yeah. I've heard other audiobook narrators will go through, like, if they're using, like, a printed copy. You could also do this online, too. But they'll go through and they'll highlight all the dialogue in different colors for the different characters. So they'll have, like, a visual overview on each page of, okay, I'm going to need this voice for these parts and this other voice for these lines.
But,
I mean, that would take a long time, probably.
Yeah, that's a lot of
prep.
Yeah.
A lot of prep work. And I don't have the I have the digital files, which, honestly, are superior, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was, I've been following Barnaby Edwards on Twitter, and he does a lot of audiobook reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess about a year ago, he started doing it using his iPad instead. And he was tweeting to one of the other voice actors that he works with about how much better it was to use the iPad. You don't have to worry about any paper rustling, and it's
Well, we are alone came across that.
Yeah,
we had the paper shuffle of doom for.
But he had just felt that it was so much easier for what he for audiobook recording was. He has his book on his tablet, and then just swipes, which is pretty soundless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as he's recording. So.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, the most you'll hear is maybe. Me scrolling down with my mouse, and even then, I have a really quiet mouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, So we should probably go ahead and read an email.
Yep.
Oh, so I'll go ahead and shout this out because it's just next month. So next month, the week before Thanksgiving, is Midwest Fur Fest, which is up in Chicago. I won't be there personally, but Tieran will be there along with Buck. And because Sofa Wolf couldn't get a table this year, we're representing them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually kind of cool. Like, I got permission from Sofa Wolf to do this, but the con has actually listed Sofa Wolf at one of our tables and given it their own table number. So we figured people that know Sofa Wolf will be able to still look at the map, see them on there in the alphabetical list, and still
go, oh,
find them. Yeah, their number overlaps with one of our table numbers. But we're also going to be helped out by their Booth Beagle, Tempo.
Booth Beagle.
Yes, Tempe Okun, who wrote Six is Wild. So it's going to be definitely a group effort and everything. So if you're going to Midwest Fur Fest, come to the table. Because we'll have all the Fur Planet stuff. We'll have all the Sofa Wolf stuff.
You'll have lots of goodies, by the way.
Yeah. So if you're going to Fur Fest and you need to pick up some books, we will definitely have them there. And then, so I'm doing Chicago TARDIS a week after that. And then I'm not doing another furry con I'm dealing at until FC in January. So.
Yeah. And I'm making plans now to go with that one.
Yeah, long break, because we don't really do much in December apart from the holidays, so it's kind of a nice end of year break. And yeah, Saverin, you said you're going to try and you're going to do FC this year.
Yep, hopefully.
That sounds good too. Yeah,
it was fun last year, and this year, you know, a little bit less going on.
I've gotten an email from the writing track coordinator at FC, and he's asked me which panels I'd like to be on, so I've let him know. So I'm going to try to be on, like, 3 or 4 panels at FC this year.
Cool.
So that'll be kind of cool. I've enjoyed doing. I need to get back in touch with Sasuke Fiesta's writing track guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because he asked me if I want to do some panels, too, which I totally want to do that for Fiesta, too. But
change stuff up?
Yeah. Like, it was fun getting mm-hmm. out there into the rest of the con for a brief time, and also just kind of be able to talk about the publishing and writing stuff that I've learned over the last few years, and, you know, maybe help some new people out, and, you know, it also helps with, like, networking a bit. And
oh, yeah. Well, like, I could probably pitch in on panels, too, nowadays. It's like,
you can do some of the podcast panels, definitely.
Yeah, I've certainly done enough of them.
And hell, if they're doing any kind of audiobook.
Yeah.
You know, B-Hop does a lot of the voice acting panels, so if he's doing any of the, I mean, you could talk to him about working in an audiobook narration panel or something. You could even do that at Fiesta if you could escape from the video game room.
Yeah, probably.
They don't let him out.
Yeah, he's...
I really just need volunteers nowadays. People aren't going to take my shit.
Like the chains that we chain the video game systems down, they're actually chained to Saverin's ankle, so he's not allowed to leave the room.
The systems have to come with me.
In order to steal our PS3, you'll have to, like, cut off Saverin's leg or something.
That would
like
suck.
That.
Also, fucking I have Cloud a hard Nut. Time, Jesus Christ.
Like, leaving the den unguarded for any amount of time. I don't know if it's just, you know,
well, I mean, it's your department. It's
a sense of paranoia / OCD.
I mean, it probably is a little bit, but it's like, it's your baby, and
yeah, it's
you
the department
take care
that you
it.
Spend so much time.
But, like, you're not going to walk away for 5 minutes and have the dealers just start throwing
revolt.
Shit.
They
just
have an orgy.
Just all the screaming for no fucking reason.
Well, like.
Yeah.
Oh. So while we've been talking, I logged into FA for like the first time in a fucking long time. I have like I'm down under 3,000 commissions now, and I'm looking and I'm like, I can see when Pokemon came out in my submissions. So everybody started drawing porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and read an email.
Yeah, we should start with the emails.
Get us started here. So I'm going to read this Tumblr. Scroll down. Okay, this Tumblr question that we just received. We'll work our way backwards in time. So Anonymous asked us a Tumblr question. If given the option, what would each of the hosts rather do with their sexual partner of choice? Tease them via orgasm denial, or torment them via orgasmic excess, making them climax over and over until their bodies could not handle it anymore? I'm pretty sure I know what Shiva's is, because she's talked about it on the show before. I think... See, getting... I mean, to me, like, getting someone to orgasm is like the cherry on top at the end. Yeah. I think I'd rather just... Not necessarily orgasm denial, but I really enjoy just teasing people for a really long time.
Oh, I'm kind of the latter. I'm like, coming's great. And if you can get them to do it multiple times, even better.
Yeah, it's rare.
I mean, yeah, I mean, we're talking a fantasy situation.
That's true. Because, and some people get off on the milking situation of being made to come over and over.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, teasing them, I mean, it's like teasing is fun, but, you know, coming is more fun, I guess. Mm-hmm. So there's that answer, I guess.
Well, he... I like orgasm control, not so much denial. So I like orgasm, but I like it when I'm very deliberate about it. It's not just, you know, so I like holding it off rather than what?
Go ahead and answer. I'm just looking at one of the emails we got, and I'm just, my mind is kind of blown.
Oh, okay.
So... It's basically, it's a flavor of orgasm denial. It's more mm-hmm. like, that's why it's orgasm control rather than denial.
Right. Yeah, I almost think the terms are, I mean, I know some people will let someone go through a whole session and then punish them by not letting them climax if they're into that kind of pet play sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of, for me, I kind of think of the terms as sort of interchangeable because it's denied up until the point that mm-hmm. you want it to happen. So, it's more control than denial. But.
Yeah. Anyway,
so, let's move on to the next one. It's like, Savin, something blew your mind. Do you want to read it?
Well, it's not even like a proper email. It's the one right underneath the Tumblr.
Oh.
One.
Yeah, that's clearly some kind of spam.
I think it's not a spam. It's somebody actually wrote an email saying, hey, I could come on the show and talk about Bedded Bliss, A Couple's Guide to Lust Ever After. And I'm kind of like, wow. What do we do with that?
What is it?
It's a legit thing from somebody that wrote a book.
Saying, yo, I want to... They're trying to do a press tour for their Bond podcasts, mm-hmm. and I don't mm-hmm. know how the fuck we got involved in that. I mean, yes, we are a legitimate, you know, sex and relationship advice podcast.
It's very possible that the marketing agency that Adam and Eve works with probably maintains a list.
That's true. That was just one of those. I looked at that and like, wait a minute, that's not a question at all. That's a pitch.
Interesting.
It's kind of neat that we were considered for that.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So how about that other email? Hey, Notcast. This is the subject, work versus social life follow-up.
Right.
Last week, you answered my question about trying to balance my work life and my social life and asked a little follow-up confirmation on my part. So here it is. When I talked about a social life, I meant an RL social life. I tend to host a weekly games night with friends, as well as trying to go out at least once or twice a week for drinks/general banter. However, the fact that I'm on a schedule that changes week to week is not particularly the issue, so much as how tired I am after a 45-hour work week. I want to maintain my social life, but I find myself very fatigued after 9 and 10-hour shifts spent entirely on my feet. My question is more relates to any tips for increasing stamina or making the most free time, even when you're tired as hell. Ever enthusiastic, jeez the roo, Scotland. Scotland!
Well, I think you're more than justified in being a little fatigued after a 9 or 10-hour shift on your feet. I'm not sure there's much you can do to not be fatigued.
Wasted.
Yeah. I mean, I know for me, when I'm feeling tired and wiped out, like, this often happens on Friday because it's the end of the week, and I'll be like, fuck, I don't want to do anything tonight. It'll sometimes happen to me like, fuck, I don't want to do the show tonight because I'm so tired. And usually I'll eat and then I'll feel better. But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't want to be around people right now. I'm tired. But then once I'm around people I wake up and get into it. And mm-hmm. like, I'm not talking about Notcast per se. I usually get just it together anything. For that. But like on the Tuesday night meets, you know, I'll be like, oh, fuck, I don't want to deal with people tonight. And then I'll get home and I'll eat dinner and then people will start coming over and we'll have a conversation and I'll kind of come out of the shell a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, even if you are feeling beat, go anyway. And, you know, if you're tired, people understand. If you're like, look, I worked a 10-hour shift and I'm really wiped, I'm going to go home. Or you might surprise yourself and kind of perk up a bit once you have
yeah,
company.
Plus, I mean, if you're spending 10 hours on your feet or whatever, going down to the pub or whatever and sitting down with your friends, well, it's not exactly a lot of extra work. Mm. And you're tired from the day, but it's always fun to talk to your friends. And
a good way to unwind, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Just catching up about the shit of the day as opposed to being like, oh, my God, I've had an awful day at work, but I don't want to go hang out with my friends because I'm
and
too tired.
You kind of sound like you're already doing, like, what I would consider a good level of socializing.
Yeah.
You know, you have a weekly meet, and then you get together randomly for drinks and hanging out. That's pretty much what
that's,
I do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, you know, we have Tuesday and Friday are, like, the set days, and then over the weekend we normally hang out at some point. And,
right.
You know, it's, we're all very busy adults, but, you know, we still take the time to... to do stuff, so well, I think he's heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
So, increasing stamina. Basically, you could exercise more. Start walking.
Mm-hmm.
In your free time, which you don't seem to have a lot of, but you can walk.
I was gonna say slight problem with that, but yeah.
I mean, but I mean, basically, there's options.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I've certainly found that with my exercise and my increase of activity, I've certainly been a lot more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's that.
So, Shiva, do you want to take the next one that's not the pitch for the
that's book? Not the pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, we should archive that one, but not, like, delete it.
Yeah, well, it, nothing really gets deleted. We would just hit archive.
Yeah, we'll just archive that one.
Okay. So I'm not sure if mine's updating right.
The one at the top says no subject is the
yeah.
next one.
Okay. Yeah, okay, I do have it. It didn't seem like it changed much. Let's see. Hello, Notcast. I'm an amateur writer looking to make a name for myself in the writing world. I am in high school and should have my first book ready for publishing by graduation, but I dread the day that my little-known name fails to attract any measurable following. So I have thought of a strategy. One night, an idea for another separate novel came to me, a furry novel. How do y'all think the fandom will respond to a straight adventure / erotic novel? Ever since joining the fandom, I've been sliding towards bi, but I'm predominantly straight. But I hear this could hurt the sales, as less people would enjoy the romance and or erotic scenes. So if it's well written, will it matter what gender the characters are? I hope to use this furry novel as a way to gain some sort of fan base before I publish my magnum opus through a mundane publisher, and if and when the day comes that a furry novel is completed by my hand, I hope that I may be able to talk to about being published under Fur Planet's logo. Signed, your Texas local, born and raised yokel, Quetzal. Okay. I don't know. I'm not like pretzel. It's Mesoamerican, so the Q is... Yes. So, yeah, I know. Quetzal.
I mean, you know, just... writing and putting a book out there, yeah, your little known name is probably not going to attract a lot of attention the first time.
Many authors that say you have to submit and keep submitting and keep doing it until, you know, you finally get noticed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, wasn't there, like, some person was like, it took me, like, 20 rejections to get my first or something, or my 50 mm-hmm. rejections.
Yeah.
You're not just going to burst out the gate unless you're, like, a J.K. Rowling, and then that's a one-in-a-million shot.
Yeah, and people point to that, like, oh, J.K. Rowling did it, and Stephen King's first novel was a big hit and all that, and it's like...
Yeah, that's a fluke.
For every one like that, there's, like, 100,000 that went nowhere, you know, and there's the mid-list authors and the backlist authors, and, you know,
And you might go into the slush pile. I mean, it's...
Yeah,
know.
So, don't...
You know, don't focus on being a big name, you know, just write and come what may. And honestly, I mean, I don't mean to
rain on
your parade or dash your hopes and dreams beneath my my metal heels. But, you know, if you're in high school, about to graduate, you're probably 18. Your first book's probably not going to be publishable. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might be. You might be some kind of amazing child prodigy that has this masterpiece. Or, well, not even like a masterpiece, just something marketable, like the Aragon guy is like 15 or something mm-hmm. crazy like that.
Yeah.
But it's really, really rare. And I'd say there's a 99.9% chance that your book will either be completely unpublishable or will need a massive amount of editing and rewrite work. So, I mean, definitely keep writing and honing your craft and submitting short stories to anthologies, online magazines like, you know, Apex and Clark's World and stuff like that, Tor.com. But I wouldn't necessarily count on this first book, like, really taking off and really your name becoming, like well-known and everything. And I know this is just kind of a downer dose of reality, but if you're writing for the money and you're writing for fame, then you're writing for the wrong reasons. You know, write because you love it. Writing because you want to at least make a living out of it is fine, but it does take a long time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might be working at a regular day job for 20, 30 years before you can even think about dropping the part-time or going full-time as a writer or something like that. So just, I guess, just kind of keep a realistic outlook going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, writing, I don't really think that writing a furry book is a stepping stone necessarily to becoming well known in the mundane world.
It's one of those things you should do if you really want to do it.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, you're clearly a furry if you listen to this show, so you sure go ahead and write a furry novel.
Yeah, and it being a straight pulp adventure story with erotic elements, that sounds cool.
Yeah, we publish gay and straight, you know. Try to do a little bit of everything.
Well, if they're straight, you're going to get at least... If it's straight, you're going to get straight in the buy. There you go. That's two-thirds.
Yeah, and sometimes people do look at the gender mix, but there are also people that can enjoy the story regardless of the gender mix.
Yeah.
So, you know, I write what you're comfortable with, write what you're passionate about, you know, write the story that you want to tell, and if it's meant to be, the book will find its audience.
Huh. So, I mean, give it a shot. Right. You're never going to get better if you don't do it.
Well, that and writing like this will give you access to people to review your work and make suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
So even you can also see about getting more involved with some of the various writing groups out there if you want more.
Or maybe trying
feedback.
To find local writers in your area mm-hmm. to do like a writer's circle where you can read each other's work. And get feedback and stuff like that. That's very helpful for people. It is very difficult to set up, but, you know, it's something that you could definitely look into forming or joining a pre-existing one. But I'd also consider writing short stories and posting them to FA and So Furry.
Yeah.
And kind of start to build up a reputation that way, at least in the furry community. And I don't know how much of a resource DA is for stories, how much of an audience you can...
I don't think that does a lot. I mean, people post stories to it, but eh.
It's mostly an art website. Yeah. Well, I guess it is right.
It's a visual medium.
DeviantArts.
DeviantArts, yes.
It's mostly a visual medium.
Right. What is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So moving on to the next email, but I'm going to have an interjection. So I'm looking at FA, because, again, as I said, I logged in to show Fuzz some of Casey Megami's adult stuff, which really isn't terribly adult. It's nudes and are very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a banner ad on FA. Mm-hmm. I clicked a banner ad. Holy shit. It was something called Love, Sex, Fur. It's another additive species.
Article?
It's a side site to it.
Oh, all right.
But... there seems to be kind of like a whole bunch of nothing right there right now.
Hmm.
It's adjective species and their usual musings on, which is kind of a cool site. And talking about, but I was thinking, oh, it's another podcast. We should say hi. And no, there's.
It's not a podcast.
It's a website.
If it's an adjective species thing, then it might be like a series of articles or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it is a series of articles, and they haven't posted anything since like the 8th.
Okay, so
I saw an article on like dating and relationships in the fan, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to look at this.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is it anything? No. Searchlights.
Oh, jeez.
What?
Oh, the first thing I see is an article by a guy that's always defending zoophilia whenever it comes up on Flara, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be just...
It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Well...
Well, that went down quickly.
That'll teach me to look at ads.
I'm not bashing adjective species or anything. I'm just kind of like, oh, there's the first animal. Oh, it's... I haven't read it, but going by what he's written in the past, it'll probably be totally pro-zoophile, and it's like he has an agenda to make everything pro-zoophile, even whether it's on topic or not, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I don't pay attention to Flara. And again, like I said, I haven't logged into
FA
in a significant period. So, I'm like, oh, huh. What is this? Anyways, so we should read the next email, Fuzz.
Is it my turn now?
Yes, it is.
Mm, okay.
Chop, chop.
All right. Okay, this email is not about a convention.
Yay.
And he prefaced it like that because, like, last week, he sent it in last week, and our topic was the con reports and everything. Hello, casters of... Wait, that intro sounds familiar. We didn't read this already, did we? Hello, casters of the Suggestive Bulge.
We may have looked at it, but we didn't read it.
Okay. Hello, casters of the Suggestive Bulge. A short and sweet email from a happy listener just writing in to let you guys know that you're doing a great job. Thanks for keeping me company during my many long road trips and for always being a relatively sane and level-headed voice of reason and perspective when things get tough.
High five.
Oh, you've been hanging, bro. Thanks to you guys, I managed to find the courage to make all sorts of positive changes in my life. I started my first serious gay relationship, which is going well. We're set to move into our own apartment at the end of the month, and despite the terrifying prospect of being financially independent, I'm looking forward to not having to be super quiet for the sake of my sibling's sanity when myself and my Firefox get up to shenanigans.
Yes. Shenanigans. Having your sibling not hear your,
unfings.
Your unfing is usually a good thing.
Yes. Banging the head forward, baby. Yes. Yes.
And it's like, oh no, I forgot the sex helmet. Oh.
There's just the big dome-shaped indentations on the wall from the sex helmet. Sorry.
Have to replace sheetrock eventually.
Yes. I also found the courage to jettison some dead weight from my life, which was painful at first, but sometimes people change, and staying in a toxic relationship is never a good idea, even if the relationship is a friendship. As has been said before, dump the motherfucker already. I also took the cue from your frank and open discussions about kinks and fetishes as though they were normal things that people do. It really helped me get out of the mindset that just because I enjoy some alternative activities that I'm a horrible broken person who should feel ashamed.
Good.
The way that we've made this person gay and kinky, we're upholding our end of the gay agenda.
Yes. Satan will be pleased.
One more and I get a toaster.
Go ahead.
The way that sex and fetish is so taboo and avoided as a topic of discussion can do some serious harm to a developing mind. It's very true. And it's just the good fortune of our generation that we can discuss it in relative safety online. You have to feel sorry for the confused teenagers of yesteryear living in the sexual dystopia of the 50s-style all-American family. Anyway, I'll keep this to an L-shaped friendly length and finish up. Keep up the good work and never change. Thanks heaps, La, the quill butt.
I think it's Ia.
Ia?
Because it's the name.
Oh, is that an uppercase I?
Ida. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
People have to dumb down their emails.
Oh, okay, Ia, the quill butt.
Well, just lengthwise, it's okay, Sometimes your limbs get all tangled in the words.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad we've been helping.
That's us. We always appreciate that positive feedback.
That's why we do this shit.
And I don't know if I mentioned last week, but when I was at the cons, I think it was Arizona Fur Con, I had quite a few people come up and tell me that they'd enjoyed the show and thank me and say that we were all doing an awesome job and we helped them get through. Like the one guy Neo, said we helped him get through high school, and it was very flattering and very nice to hear.
Yeah, because we do this for fun, but it's good to know that we're making a difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was something you said in this particular email that made me think of something I said the other day when I was out taking a walk in a mall. Uh-huh. And I was thinking, they have the Easter Bunny now. Yeah. They have Santa Claus. Like, you just have somebody dress up as Satan for Halloween and be like, what would you like in exchange for your eternal soul, Kit? Little boy or little girl. And I don't even remember what it was. It just made me chuckle. That was why I chuckled. I'm weird.
That is a funny idea.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so...
You are not full of words.
I'm not full of words tonight. I'm full of derp on occasion, though.
Mm-hmm. And food.
Yes, I'm full of food. Yes. Comfortably so. Subject. Feeling mixed feelings. And he hashtagged it, so it's like, oh no, we're getting some Tumblr all in our blog.
Oh, I was thinking Twitter. Twitter's what I always relate to hashtags.
But that's true.
You're right, Tumblr does that, too. So.
Yeah. Okay. Hello and greetings from Che Fuzdingo from the sunny Sydney, Australia, to Shiva, Saverin, Fuzzled, and fellow Notcasters. Well, I think you covered everybody. This is from memory, is my third email to you guys and gals, and although it may be off topic and possibly not air on the podcast, I just felt that I needed time to put some thoughts to paper. That seeming as this is an email and thus not paper, but rather some form of assortment of numbers to make some variation of formal letter type thingy, but meh, I'm waffling and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, as I said, this is kind of just a rehash of my mind at the time. From the last time I wrote into you guys, it was doing good in all the meaning of the word. I'm still doing good. But life has still got its pitfalls and down moments. Mm. Firstly, the good. Well, what I can say except I found the love of my life, a male Australian furry named Alpha, whose son is a wolf. We've been together for 6 months now, and I feel so special and honored to call him mine, and our love grows stronger and stronger with each day. We've had fantastic times together, and despite being a long-distance relationship, 3-hour bike ride down the highway, we've managed to beat the expectations that others had for us. Hey, 3 miles, 3 hours of bike riding ain't too bad, really.
Yeah.
Just gotta watch out for the drop bears and the acidic kangaroo scorpions.
What?
We've managed some memorable moments is when I came down to see him, been together 2 months at the time. We stayed at a hotel and he got there before and placed rose petals and candles in the room and surprised me. Needless to say, it made me the happiest I've ever been in a long time.
Oh, I did that when my mate and I first met in real life, post meeting.
Another great memories we've had is on my birthday when he came up to spend it with me for 4 days. It may not seem like a big thing, but I haven't had a birthday in 4 years, so I gave up on them. Because he made me feel like a prince, I'm forever in his debt.
Why? Is he one of the leap year babies?
No, I'm just thinking more that his birthday was not ever a big thing.
Oh, I was going to say, because leap year babies, they have it rough.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Aging at 1/4 normal human speed? That'd be pretty cool.
Like, sorry, it's been 4 years, but I'm only actually,
I'm 12. You're not allowed to fuck me.
That's just a plot of Pirates of Penzance, to be fair.
I'm 7.5. Wait, what? Our love life is fantastic, but we're both still struggling financially with such massively because neither of us can move out. I definitely can't move because even though I'm 22, I'm uni-bound, which means I have to live at home. You're going to college, which, honestly, is the smart thing to do.
Mm.
If you're going to college and you can live at home on your parents' dime, do it. It saves everybody money, except for your parents, but that's okay because they're not you.
That sounds so mercenary.
Oh, I love you, Saverin.
It is mercenary. Other good things that have happened this year is I bought my motorbike, a 2010 Kawasaki Ninja 250R Special Edition, and it's been a blast to own and ride, even though Rego cut deep. 5012 for 12 months.
507.
507 for 12 months. Registration. I've been doing a lot of riding, and it's been very relaxing. Well, that's cool. So when he said motorbike, it's actual motorbike, not bicycle. Like, 3 hours on a bicycle is not that far, but 3 hours on a motorbike, that's quite a few kilometers. Now, also their problems.
Talk about Australian and shit. Kilometers, indeed.
Metric.
It's like Metroid, but with less head crabs.
Yes. Now, I'll just say my problems now. Mainly, it stems from financial situations of being basically poor due to uni expenses, but also being worried about exams and assessments. So, in short, I'm just fed up with worrying about this shit. Any advice about university, as well as you Americans call it college? Because I really want to be able to start living my life now. Life how I dream it should be, and I'm sick of worrying myself over this. Lots of friendly hugs and best wishes from Chafus Dingo, sent from his iPad. Dude, you're going into college. You've got a few years ahead of you, which are going to be really kind of crazy. But it's going to be worth it in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You get your degree, you get out without a bunch of debt, and get yourself a job that pays decently. Then you still have to pay like $100 for video games because what the fuck, Australia? You know, you're not going to be able to live your life how you dream it to be right now. You're going to college. You need to focus on your studies and get good grades and get your scholarships.
Get because your shit squared.
When you get your shit squared and you do really like college.
Like a wombat.
Yes. They're squares. The square bat. Basically, when you're done and you get your shit together and you get a good paying job, that's when you can start living your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've dedicated, you know, you've all this time to getting good grades and you finally succeeded and have yourself a good job, that's when you have the fun, you know. College is hard work. It's worth it in the end, though.
Yeah.
Provided you don't pick, you know, something shitty as your major.
Yeah, it's actually useful later on.
Yeah. Science, like engineering, technology, mathematics, STEM.
Don't do fine arts, kids.
Y'all are going to piss off so many people.
What?
No, I'm just, I've seen this Tumblr post of shit artists hate being told that they wasted their time getting a fine arts degree.
No, I said that as a fucking fine arts major.
Oh,
I'm not saying that as just.
I mean, I have a generic science associates. Whatever.
I'm saying this as someone who went through the college.
Yeah, it's, you know, what does an English major say when I graduate? Would you like fries with that?
They say that about the humanities and other majors, and, you know.
Liberal arts, probably.
And it's the thing. It's like, yes, liberal arts are great, but it's STEM that actually gets you money.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Science, technology, English, math.
Engineering, math.
Engineering, math. Oh, yeah, you're right, because English doesn't get you money.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I learned the acronym because of bullshit on Tumblr. It's infiltrated my vocabulary.
God, yeah, I see so much shit on Tumblr. They're like, I'm so mad at these somethings. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And why are they mad about it? To the Google. And, you know, I'm
you
like,
learn new shit.
And I was like, wait, why is that a bad thing? Why is a bad thing?
Oh,
it's dumb Tumblr shit. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
It's nothing I have to worry about. It's not like, why is cancer a bad thing? I know why.
Yeah. It's like, silly, silly internet.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you're going to have to worry for a little while. You're going to have to work hard.
Yeah.
But it's going to be worth it in the end.
It's one of those, here's the harsh reality again kind of thing. Is it? Sorry.
That's what we do.
You know, the worrying about finances and shit never really goes away. You know, this shit, quote unquote, that you're going to be worrying about forever. Everybody does.
To some degree or another.
You know,
and you're going to have college and that's going to be a shit ton of work. So, yeah, it's just a question of, don't over worry about it. I mean, if you're having like panic attacks and shit, then it's probably time to see a therapist, you know, and let some of that out. But if you're just worried about stuff that you should be worried about, then that's perfectly normal. You just got to make sure that you balance it with some social time and time with your boyfriend and stuff like that so that you don't go completely nuts.
I hate to say it, but welcome to being an adult.
Yeah, I was thinking that. And it's like, yeah, now that's pretty much what it comes down to.
Yeah, sorry.
So this is just sort of I'll give you a vote of confidence and say, you're going to be all right, and if you're worried about shit, that is perfectly normal. It's just something you got to get used to.
Yeah, you're never not going to be have things to worry about. It's just a matter of managing.
And degrees of worry.
Yeah. So, on to the next one.
Sorry about the C'est la vie.
It's like, you know, I'm looking through some of these artists and some of the submissions on FA, and I'm like, why did I follow this guy?
Because sometimes their work goes downhill, and you...
Yeah. Well, I'm going to fix this issue. Not going to say who they are, because I'm not a shit-stirring asshole.
Thank you. Say it, talk about the good ones, not the bad ones.
Yes. Oh, because there are lots of good ones.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, the fucking Dragonair. I'm going to unfollow this guy. Oh, no. Why can't I get into my account? It says I've been banned.
No. Nier does okay art. Better than I could draw.
Oh, totally better than I could draw. I mean, it's just a pity that he doesn't get to draw it very much because, you know, that face kind of keeps you busy.
Yeah, I was going to say, then again, there's a lot of people that can draw better than I can draw, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that is true of me also. Like, everybody on FA can draw better than I can.
Like that Naughty Moose guy, he does consistent stuff.
Oh, he does funny stuff, too.
Yes, he does.
I like his stuff, so amusing.
I don't think I watch him.
He's been around a while.
Yeah, he's been around a long time.
God, he's the one that I was talking about a couple years back. He did that really funny series of images where this one fox ends up fucking everybody in this little raccoon's family.
Yeah.
It is like the first one is he fucks the kid's mom, like their friends. And he's like, hey, fucked your mom. He's like, stop saying that. And the next one, he's like, he fucks his sister, and he ends up like, and every time the kid walks in and sees it, and he sees like his dad coming in the fox's mouth, and it's just like, just tears flowing down his face.
Yeah, and then the last image in the series is him sucking off the raccoon, and the parents all burst in, and he's the raccoon guy.
He's crying and coming, and it's
great.
Is this where we talk about Saren's habit of crying and breaking his bones and coming?
Yeah, I haven't re-listened to last week's episodes. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Yeah, Rahana said that. It's like, what? I'm trying to remember the joke. They just kind of slip out, and we don't necessarily pay attention to what we're talking about.
Yeah,
It just kind of falls
out. We open our mouths, and stuff comes out.
Yeah, it's like,
usually
my bones are broken, and I'm coming. This is terrible.
90% of the time, it's
bullshit. It's like, I don't even know what the fuck we were going on about.
Yeah. That's been like 70... Like, we've had a couple folks that they're going through the archives. They're listed all the episodes. And that's cool and all.
But they're like, oh, man, I remember that shit you said 100 episodes ago.
And they'll email us or comment to us on Twitter with no context. Just a line. And I'm like, oh, my God. We recorded that like 18 months ago. I have no idea what that is in reference to.
I said something. I don't remember what it was. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, what you said in episode 117 was really offensive to ants.
Which one was that?
You're like, you're welcome.
Was that baby furs? I'm like, I don't even know if
you were. It's like, I don't even know if you were on that episode to just throw out a random number.
Yeah, if it's like we got all our like offensive shit out. What the fuck is this?
Oh. What kind of fucking faggot would draw some shit like that? Ugh.
No, it's Vore toys.
What?
Like, they're throat shapes and tongue toys. So you can pretend that you're throat fucking a dragon or getting... Oh, man, I'm seeing some shit.
Just getting eaten cock first, or...
I don't know. I'm just like... I have seen some shit tonight, let me tell
you.
You're
on the internet, to be fair. That's what you get for being on the internet. You will get educated, whether you want to or not.
So, I've read that one. Shiva, it's your turn. The two emails from the same person from the same time period, they're related, so...
Basically,
they forgot to mention their name.
They sign it.
Mm. Oh, there's a wall of text for you.
Oh, God.
Good luck, Shiva.
Okay. So, I enjoy your show. I can't wait to hear more. Oh, well, hello, Notcast.
No fucking way. No, not the email. I'm just, Again, FAS.
Oh, this person wrote in. God.
That was just not well timed.
Sorry.
Knowing that 2/3 of the usual cast will be unavailable for at least a couple of episodes, we saved it. I hope my message doesn't get backlogged. Sorry. But I'll like and listen to whatever is put out next episode anyways. What I'm about to write will probably be unassailable wall of text, though honestly I think we would all prefer a wall of tits, so brace for impact. I work for a superstore chain by the name that Walt rhymes with Malwart. About 5 weeks ago, that's not a very good rhyme. I mean, that's not even simple at all. And about 5 weeks ago, I transferred from one store to another in the same town, as I mentioned during my last email. Now that I'm more informed about things, I'm starting to hate the company, which has an HRC quality rating of 40. I transferred with the intentions of introducing myself to a new crew as a woman. The shift manager I spoke to when we went to confirm my transfer said it would be no problem that I'm transsexual, but what a problem it's turning out to be. A couple days ago, at the time of writing, of course, another shift manager summoned me to the office and told that I would not be allowed to continue using a women's bathroom as it was making other female associates uncomfortable, and according to her, I'm not legally allowed to do that. This particular manager has refused to call me by my chosen name, even in front of the overnight floor crew I work with, who didn't know my legal name until she called me by it. This continuous and escalating denial of basic human right hurts, and for the remaining hour of the shift, I hid in a changing room and cried. When I got home, I more or less passed out on my bed, exhausted. The following night, I stayed home from work to dig through my online legal resources and found that not only there are no laws explicitly or implicitly banning biological males from women's restrooms, but banning anybody from using any bathroom based on solely on their sex is sex discrimination, plain and simple. There are laws against voyeurism, sexual assault, and indecent exposure to cover anything notorious someone might do in a bathroom, but nothing saying a man can't be in a woman's bathroom simply because he is a man. Tonight I intend my work as usual and use the women's toilet as usual and report my findings to the general manager in the hope of stopping this nonsense. I stopped dead in my tracks when one of my crew called me by my legal name. As calmly as I could, which is pretty damn calm, actually, I told him not to call me by that name. He told me that the shift manager I've been having trouble with told him and the rest of the crew that they required me to call me by my legal name and complete disregard the fact that I've been presenting as female, even wearing bus pads to work every day. Knowing I wouldn't be able to keep my cool after the stunning blow, I gathered my things, clocked out, and headed for the door. By chance, I ran into an old friend of mine who was sympathetic to my plot and kind enough to spare me the 3-mile walk home. I get home to complain to my internet friends while doing more research and find the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has ruled that any discrimination towards a transgender individual is sex discrimination, which company policy forbids, and which is also grounds for a hell of a lawsuit, if I can find an attorney who is willing to work the case pro bono. At this time, I still intend to take the news to the GM, but I don't see much being done at this point, since the company is known for malpractice and symbolic enough of an anti-LGBT opinion that New York won't let them build in their city. No matter how things turn out, the shift manager will be transferring to another store within the month, and I'll be moving to Springfield, Illinois to live with my boyfriend. More likely or not, there's a Target superstore there, and apart from a 15-point deduction after donating to a certain government official's election campaign, Target Corp has a perfect 100 HRC rating. In the meantime, though, do you really think it's likely I'll lose my job when I report things to the GM? And how possible would it be to find an attorney that would work my case pro bono in Central OK if I didn't? Why, my friend said that if I get fired and put my story in the news, it would be much more likely, but I'm unsure about that. I don't exactly have the money to press charges on my own. And this is from Belmont. I'm curious to see the follow-up that came from this email, so by all means, please let us know, because I would like to know how this all turned out. Yeah, because, I mean,
even Malwart has the barest of, you know, protections in place. Now, admittedly, they probably don't have trans-inclusive stuff because, well, they're fucking Walmart. and mm-hmm. you know,
and I know Oklahoma doesn't have any kind of gender assignment protection.
Yeah, mm-hmm. so basically, you're in like one of the worst places to be trans. Congratulations!
Glad you're moving out of there.
Be glad you move out of there. But mm-hmm. your manager's being a cunt. You need to report them for. You need to talk to their GM and say, look, this isn't cool. You know, this is serious fucking business here. Because, you know.
This is not.
It's not kosher. I mean, it's not kosher. I mean, even if, you know, trans is way far behind gay rights in terms of acceptance by the wider.
Wider masses.
And then, of course, the fact that you're in Oklahoma doesn't help either.
No.
So, yeah, your manager going and telling, or this other manager going and telling everybody your given name and not what you've been going by, that's bullshit. I mean, and...
Nor is it a required. That'd be like having to call everyone named, I don't know, any nickname.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, I've had Savrin on a name badge from time to time.
Because... At work?
Yeah, actually. Huh. Because I had access to the badge printer and had, like, several badges that I printed up because I wanted to. Nobody gave half a shit.
Yeah, but it'd be like somebody going by Mike, you know,
instead
and being
of Michael.
Legally required to call them Michael. That's horse shit. That is not a legal requirement. And your manager is totally pulling that out of her ass.
She's just raising shit.
She's just being a bitch.
Yeah.
And, you know...
She's trying to make a fucking point and strong-arm you.
She's like, I hate you because you're trans, so fuck you. I can make your job hard.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can make their job hard, too, by filing complaints with HR.
And I've never heard about the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I mean, that may be a pro-LGBT activist group.
I don't know.
I don't, you know...
I don't know anything about them.
They may consider transgender discrimination to be sex discrimination, but if the company policy only says sex discrimination and doesn't cover, oh God, what's the actual wording they use for? It's not about gender; it's something else.
Sexual gender identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it doesn't actually cover gender identity, then. They're not breaking their policy. And even if they are breaking their policy, it's not illegal to fire somebody for being gay or trans or anything in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So you really don't have much of a legal recourse there.
You may have, like, social pissed off, isn't it? But you know what I mean. You know, you can get... Maybe you get some noise and some...
And I don't even think it would help. Because it's like, it's in the South. Everybody knows that... Walmart is a pro-religion conservative...
Bottom of the fucking barrel company to work for.
Right. I mean, they have a history of treating women poorly, paying them less than men for the same position. They have so many human rights transgressions against more than just, mm-hmm. you know, gay, lesbian, whatever. They just use people.
Yeah. So, I mean, in my opinion, I mean... The news report would read, you know, Walmart treats transgendered woman shittily, and it would be, yawn, must be a slow news day on CNN. I mean, the only reason that Target's situation made news is because they were 100% on the HRC, and it was very unusual for them to donate to a candidate that wasn't supportive of gay rights.
I don't even know quite how that made. It even got through their, you know, filter of, hey, let's do this.
It was like they were supporting him for economic reasons, mm-hmm. like for some of the business regulations and stuff in the community that he was affecting. But I guess somebody was not paying attention to things he had said on social issues or something. Hmm. Or it was something like they donated to the pro-business PAC. In the area.
And
the PAC supported that representative.
Guy, yeah.
So it got shorthanded, like all news does, into Target supports homophobic representative. And I have a feeling somebody in Target's HR department probably spit coffee all over to their monitor and went, wait, what the fuck? And, you know, then they tried to work to improve it. But, you know.
The publicist went, what the hell, guys?
Like, oh, God damn it.
So, sorry to be kind of a Debbie Downer again, which seems to be my lot in this episode. I really don't think it's going to be a productive use of your time and possibly money to try to pursue this legally, because I don't really think you have any legal recourse in the state of Oklahoma. And if that manager is gone in a month and then you're gone to Illinois shortly after that, don't waste your time on it. Don't. I mean, I know it sucks. It's a civil rights abuse. It's an important thing, but it is not going to go anywhere. It's just going to further piss you off. I think it's just better that you move on with your life and move into your better situation.
Yeah, because Illinois is going to have gay marriage in it for too long.
Yeah. That's just my two cents. Others are free to disagree with me. I'm sure you'd get a much different answer from Tumblr, but...
Well, it kind of comes down to also, it's like... There comes a point when you have to put down your foot and say no. And it kind of depends on you if this is your particular breaking point and when you want to start taking up this fight. Just because, I mean, it's kind of, you need to say, okay.
Shorthand, pick your battles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where you have the time, where you're going to have sometimes the investment. So, yeah.
So, who read... Shiva read that one?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
We should probably stop
and save.
Okay.
And then we will go back and finish up the emails, because we have a few more left.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. We'll be back.
Can give it all. Oh, 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 down, hold me tight, tell me everything will be alright. Hold me down, hold me tight, tell me everything will be alright. Hold me down, hold me tight, tell me everything will be alright. Hold me down, hold me tight, tell me everything will be alright. Hold me down, hold me tight, tell me everything will be alright.
And we're back. And we hope you enjoyed song by artist on unknown album.
Yep. Damn it, iTunes, why didn't you tag this correctly?
Rock solid cock ring sampler. You know how you go to a restaurant and you don't quite know what you want, and you're like, I'll have that sampler, and I'll try several different types of beer, or several different types of appetizer, or several different types of cock ring. This is that last one.
Well, you don't know what your speed is.
You don't quite know what you're getting into. This is like, it's like one, two, three, five different cock rings of all different types and shapes that all do different things.
Like what?
Like some make your cock shoot lasers.
Oh,
which
really?
Is pretty awesome.
Which one's the fire element one?
Hepatitis. Oh. Or whatever makes you shoot fire from your dick. Then there's the one that, like, just makes your cock glow different colors, and you're like, it's like a rave. Oons, oons, oons. Actually, no. Okay. One of the few things that men and women can agree on is that cock rings are a must-have for the bedroom.
I really haven't actually played with one much. I keep meaning to.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's a hell of a tagline, because I've... No.
I've used them a couple of times. I'd like to try them out a little more, actually, and maybe try some of the different types. Maybe I'll order this and let you know how it turns out. Ideal toy for couples. Rings stimulate and boost size and endurance. Pick from four cock rings, each with different benefits and sensations. Donut ring is super snug for extra staying power. Gear ring provides extra clitoral stimulation. And it looks like a little gear. It's got little nubblies all around it. Donut and nubby ring set can be used in a variety of combinations. I guess it does actually say that. Silicon lasso is adjustable for a perfect fit every time. Rings are made from durable TPR and hypoallergenic silicon. Called the ideal toys for couples, cock rings provide extra fun for both men and women. Women love the extra stimulation from the cock ring rubbing against their clit and pussy. And both men and women benefit from the boost in size and endurance provided by cock rings. Yes, cock rings from Whammo. Try them today. Fun for the whole family and for making the whole family.
So, also try Bag of Glass and Happy Fun Ball.
Do not taunt Happy Fun Ball. So,
but do taunt penises.
The, yes. The Rock Solid Cock Ring Sampler is $19.95. But if you use our coupon code KNOT,
K-N-O-T.
K-N-O-T. It takes off 50%, brings it down to $9.98. With free shipping. So instead of spending like $28 with shipping, you're getting it for $10.
Yay.
What's a bargain?
The cock rings.
And if you spend like $17 more on something else, you get like another free thing. Yep. So yeah, have some extra stimulation and make your cock all fat and
bling it, that bitch up.
Bling it, yeah. Put them all on at the same time, and your cock will just, it'll be like the...
It'll just fall off.
Yeah, it'll be like that dude's heart. It'll grow two sizes that day.
And then he had to go to the hospital because it's actually a serious condition.
Warning, if your cock is thick and hard and veiny for more than 4 hours, you...
Go see a doctor.
You may need to see a doctor, or an emergency room, more likely. So that is, oh, and I forgot the URL. That is on adamandeve.com. That is our sponsor, the people who are selling this marvelous cock ring samplers. You know, taste them all.
They all taste like plastic.
Silicone.
Yes, they all taste like silicone. So it's just sort of like licking a motherboard. Don't lick the cock rings, kids. Lick the things around the cock rings.
Around. around. That's when they get embedded inside. No.
No, I meant the part that's going in and the part that's coming out.
So anyways, how about we read an email? Because she was just going to keep taking this bad places.
Hi. Yes, how about that?
I don't have a cock.
Well, maybe they'll make clit rings. They're just like little tiny ones that you just sort of squeeze on there.
They look like those tiny little braces, rubber bands.
Yeah.
That's what they would look like.
I don't know if I have anything small enough for a clit. Let me just get a Twistex from the Wonder Bread.
Hi, kids.
So anyways, hey, how about an email?
Shut them up. Please shut them up. I read the long one.
So I'll read the next one.
Which is a question for Shiva.
No.
It's a question for Shiva for episode, like, 3-4 weeks ago. It's okay. This is a question for Shiva. It is short, so she won't be too flustered with it. The two-way pegging dildo.
The two-way pegging dildo went to school. The two-way pegging dildo and Clifford the Big Red Dog. It's a series of children's books.
No. To him, the green and blue.
The one that is ribbed, what would it be rubbing that it should not be rubbing or bumping? The only thing I know of is the prostate, and why would that be a problem?
So, you had made a comment about not using ribbed toys in the anus, and I think that's what they're questioning.
Well, just judging by having things go in and out of my own butt. I mean, I'm just imagining it dragging at the sphincter, as in it would be kind of rough going in and out. I could be wrong. Depending on how ribbed these are. Yes, like
how ribbed it is, if they're gentle ribs, not, you know, fucking...
I think we were discussing was one of the share variants, and it actually has some pretty good size. Well, one, it's pretty thick around, and two...
You're not putting a pine cone up your ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not Hitler, so you're not getting a pineapple up your ass either.
What?
I think that's from Little Nicky.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're scheduled to shove a pineapple up Hitler's ass at 2.
Again?
I actually think a ribbed or nubbed toy in the ass is fine. If you definitely use a lot of lube.
Yeah.
Which is always true anyway, but then you would not get that rough sensation.
That rubbing.
Yeah. Because it would all be slick and lubricated and...
going where it should be.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it doesn't... I thought you were talking, like, from experience, like, with Sero or something.
No.
I know somebody had once said something like the ribs are like they would act like shit collectors.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Yeah, but not if your lower colon is cleaned out.
Yeah, you'd have to be fairly clean too.
Well, there's always going to be a little centaurum, but I think you do get some additional pleasure and stimulation from ribbed or bumpy toys that is different from just ordinary penis shape. Yeah. So I think it's definitely worth a try, you know?
I mean, it looked fun for a girl. It's just, I don't know, maybe it's me. I just prefer a smoother glide, but that's, you know.
Mm-hmm. To each their own.
Yes.
The rate of the email, the other problem with being ribbed is that would it be in the ass? What else is in the ass? ? Unless it is what you meant by the ribs. Your future pegged wolf... Garul Shelrodzi.
Yeah, it's not going to go in your ass and along your rib cage. I'm going to play your rib cage like an accordion.
Oh, man. It'd be better if it was a xylophone, because the accordion's got to squeeze it. They're crushing my ribs at the same time. Oh, this is going weird places.
Like we don't already regularly.
Conversation about pegging, and then we just go downhill from there.
Yeah.
Downhill from there?
Apparently so, and we're at it.
Yep. Implying we were over at the top.
Speaking of pegging, and pegging being weird or not, there was, I think I might have mentioned this before, but a few years ago in MFF, I got a sketch from Heather Bruton, and she was like, you know, what do you want, of course? And I was like, I want male wolf with these characteristics, my character, being pegged by a female, whatever, I don't have a species picked out. She's like, oh, pegging. I'm so glad to draw something normal. I've been getting the weirdest requests this weekend. And I was like, yeah, this was back when my pegging interest was just sort of first showing. So I was like, oh, pegging is apparently normal. Okay, no problem. But it was just funny how she was like, oh, pegging, that's something normal. And I'm thinking, yeah, only as a as an artist in a dealership, you know?
At a furry convention would that rate as?
Unless you're at, like, the Beyond Vanilla, like the BDSM con or something. But
yeah.
I thought her reaction was really funny.
No, it's actually, it's like, oh, something normal.
Yeah,
that was... It's like, blink, blink.
Exactly what she said. I was like...
Oh, you don't want a three-headed horse with six dicks and five nipples. Raping...
Pikachu.
Yeah.
If only that wasn't a real risk.
Someone is commissioning that right now.
We just gave someone the idea for that commission that they've been meaning to get.
Oh, that's right. That's for that sketch commission. That's what I want to draw.
I need to find someone to draw that right now.
So, hey, Fuzz, it's your turn.
Ah, Saverin.
How can you top that?
Ah, Saverin. I only wanted the tip. I don't know what accent that is.
Somewhere between vampire and... I don't know.
Ah, Saverin. I want your blood. And your tip.
Oh, man, this is weird.
Hey, whoever is on the show and this is Red. A furry named Grey Wolf here looking for your tips. I'm job hunting, you perverts. My job recently cut me down to part-time, so I'm using the kick in the ass to propel myself to better things. So, do you have any tips on job hunting and interviewing? I've heard you should wear a suit and tie, but I'm having a hell of a time finding a tie that matches my neon green and hot pink zebra fursuit. I've gone to the library for some books and to the career center there to spruce up my resume, but like the best gangbang pornos, I want all the tips I can get. Depending on when this gets read, I'm hoping to have sent another email by then saying that I found a job. I'm going to a job fair on the 11th of October. Whoops. And the place I'm focusing my efforts on will be there. It's a large company, I have some friends that work there, and they have assured me that it is a pretty progressive place to work. So what does the fox say? A furry named Grey Wolf. Sent from Verizon Wireless 4G LTE smartphone.
Be confident. Be very can-do.
Don't be negative about your old jobs, even if it was an incredibly terrible experience.
Yeah, do not ever talk negative.
And they will usually ask you, so what's the thing you least liked about your previous job? Don't be like my fucking bitch manager, you know?
Yeah,
don't do that, kids.
It's an interesting challenge, you know, because it's like someone will be like, what do you think is your biggest flaw? And if you make it really obviously fake, well, I'm a bit of a workaholic and a perfectionist, actually.
Sometimes I forget to eat and I die in my cubicle and start smelling up the place.
See, that's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
So, don't say anything negative about previous employers or competitors to the company. Know a little bit about the company, research them beforehand, because they will totally ask you, now, why did you choose to apply here? What makes you interested in being on our team? And your answer may be, I want to be able to eat and keep a roof over my head. But you actually need to give them some bullshit.
You can always say that, hey, I've got several people I know who work here. They spoke really highly of your company.
Mm-hmm.
You know. It sounds like a really place that I'd like to work.
You know, read the company mission statement and sort of try to incorporate it in. Also, try to use words on your resume and everything which are in the job description to kind of enhance your skills, because they do a lot of automated resume searching and stuff like that. And if you got like wording in your resume,
are good.
Buzzwords on your skill sets and stuff like that.
Skill set.
You know, make sure that you're and enhancing your paradigm and your networking and matching their mission statement and diversifying your fund to human resources ratio and, you know, all that stuff.
And make sure you've
got baffle them with bullshit.
Pretty much. But no, make sure you've got some good references lined up that will cover your back if, you know, and give the kind of information that you're wanting to be given out.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes prior managers are not the good references that you want them to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, man. Joe was a great employee. Oh, it was so awesome. We used to sit at the dock for hours and smoke weed. And I was just going to say that. Like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess it was just like, oh, what's the worst fucking thing you could do at a job? Oh, yeah, hanging around, doing nothing, and getting high.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we, you know, like two or three cases of beer would go missing per shipment, if you know what I mean. And, you know, we would just kind of, we'd crack open some buds and then light up some buds. You know what I mean?
We'd eat some buds. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Eating asses of your buds. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Fucking tongue punch that dirt star.
So, that's what I'm talking about.
So I heard this is a good way to get a job. You know, should I get under the desk now? I see you've got one of those weird desks that has a back on it. Should I just come around to the other side and get on my knees?
No, don't do that.
How to job.
How not to job.
By Fazulius T. Wolf.
Yeah, so don't listen to what Fuzz said at all there.
That's not good information.
You can back it up to the point where I went crazy.
Yeah.
I gave some good information.
Yeah, so what's some where in the middle of that?
Oh, yeah, and don't wear your fursuit to interviews.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know he was kidding about that, but knowing some people, I actually felt that it needed to be said.
Because, well, people.
Yes. Fucking furries. So, I read that, so it's whoever goes after me next.
Yeshiva.
All right. We're getting almost to the end. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's see. Let's see if mine will actually... Trying to check and refresh.
Love for rats is the next one.
Yeah. Okay, there. It just simply... It finally caught up with... It's being really slow tonight. Now, this is a really simple... Hey, not Cass. You guys talk a lot about wolves, foxes, big cats, bunnies, and so on. But where's the love for rats? I don't know. I think our biggest rat listener is Tiptoe.
Yeah, but this is from Biscuit. I think Biscuit has a hot character, because I'm sure...
Let's find out.
I'm sure I remember seeing... it's actually Biscuits, but I'm sure I remember seeing his character in submissions, in commissions, getting totally railed.
Let's see. He's done art, and he's gotten... Some mm-hmm. commission stuff featuring rats, unsurprisingly. Yeah, he's kind of... His profile idea is kind of cute. It's the little white mouse rat.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's rat.
That was really cute. Do you mind if I do one more?
Yeah. Let me... I'm just like... I get to be like one of... let me pretend to be one of those furries. Well, I had some bad experiences with a rat once, so I don't like people.
Oh, you got a commission by Acello of him and Acello's character wearing panties and lingerie. I'm sure I remember.
Is he the one? Is he the rat with the glasses? White rat?
Yes. That's okay. Him. So, yeah, I guess I was ogling your character's package for the last 5 minutes, kind of. Indicates that, yeah, we totally don't have a problem with rats.
Yeah.
I like rats.
What's really funny is when you see the really interesting... it's like, oh, I'm an ant. This character's an anteater. Well, guess what they could do with their tongue?
No, no, you know, no, like, no, 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 no.
And don't rats have, like, huge balls?
Usually.
All rodents have big balls.
Nice.
So this one's also from Jeeves.
Okay.
Dear Notcast, based on a conversation I had recently, I'm curious about your intimate sleeping habits. Personally, I love cuddling with a lover, but when it comes to sleep, I'd like a little space.
Get the fuck away from me.
That's not to say I demand that they stay on their side of the bed and keep the fuck away from me, but I like to be able to roll over in my side, as I always do, and not have someone breathing on my face or grinding against my back, though that's a hot thing to wake up to. So my question is simply this. Do you guys like holding your partner close while you sleep, or like myself, do you like the leave the cuddling to the waking hours of the day. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves.
Well, Tyrion sleeps in a little bed at the foot of mine. And he has his leash around his neck. He curls up in a little doggy bed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's such a good thing he does not listen to the show.
Yeah, he would beat your ass.
Yeah. No, no, we share a very nice, fairly new king-size bed. We have lots of room to spread out. And I like a little space because I seem to like heat up really easily. And it makes me uncomfortable if I'm too hot. So I like to not have a lot of body heat right against me when I'm sleeping. Mm-hmm. You know, cuddling and fucking are fine. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about when I'm actually just going to sleep. Mm-hmm. I like my space. I like my side of the bed.
For me, it's basically... It's definitely a... It's cuddling is cool, but for me, I don't mind it. But Panther is definitely gets overheated.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he's like, look, you know, don't
just don't touch you.
BF space. I like having blankets on me and getting nice and warm and toasty, and he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like just polar opposites in terms of sleeping habit.
Actually usually I fall asleep hugging on one of my mates. So either both of them, it's kind of the same. I'll start to drift off. I'll be kind of curled up against their back, arm around them. And then right before I fall asleep, I usually curl off and curl onto my and sleep on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
As for if they're holding onto me, it really depends. Sarah has this odd habit of wanting to put his leg over the top of my hips. It kind of resembles like I'm giving him a piggyback if he's hugging on me. And it kind of forces my hips into, I generally mostly kind of sleep on half my side, half my stomach. But when he does that, it kind of forces me to keep my hips more vertical. So it's not exactly comfortable just because I can't quite settle down into the right position. I don't mind him hugging onto me. If we can get a comfortable angle and everything else, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Also, another thing that's kind of an issue, since I've got my CPAP, because it has the vent for the excess air pressure to go out right at the nose.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I were to curl up against his back,
mm-hmm.
it would be blowing cold air on his back all night long. Well, partially warmed air. But
you don't have the new improved one.
No, I do. It's just I don't have the full face mask. I have the nasal.
Oh, that's right. You have the nasal pad.
In out, and it has a little vent for the excess air pressure to escape. So, yeah, I can't.
Because my first one had the vent, and yeah, they used to say sleeping next to someone with a CPAP is like getting your own air conditioner in bed, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But
which is okay in the summer, not so good other times.
My new mask, they have actually incorporated, it has a little cloth pad and a little plastic thing that goes over it.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. So it still allows air to pass through. But it diffuses and redirects it, basically.
Oh.
Huh.
So that it no longer has the
cold
blasting out effect. It's quieter, too, because you don't hear the sound of air blasting through those little holes.
Go ahead.
What's unfortunate, though, is if I've had to readjust my mask size down since I've lost so much weight.
Yeah.
Because my head's less fat now. So I've had to been adjusting it down, but sometimes it slips and it comes off. It tries to compensate for loss of pressure by increasing the pressure, so it gets like turbine noise.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on who I've slept with, because number of people, some people are like freaking ovens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's one thing that Sarah has mentioned that he likes about me versus other people is that I am not a heat. I am kind of a heat sink. I'm actually fairly. I don't put out a ton of heat. So he can curl up against me without getting overheated. And you know, if he comes seeking heat, he doesn't like immediately start sweating because I tend to sleep rather on the cool side, whereas I'm not a furnace. And he's kind of the same way. He puts out a moderate amount of body heat, and Siam's a little bit more. But the problem with Siam is with his back problems, he usually sleeps facing away from me, hugging a pillow to kind of support his shoulders so that it doesn't droop and pull on the neck muscles. Unfortunately, somehow, in the middle of the night, and it happens every goddamn night, the pillow ends up wedged down between us. So I wake up on the other side of the king bed, and he's on the far side of the king bed, and there's a pillow, and usually two cats wedged between us. Because my two littler Siamese likes to sleep underneath the covers, especially if I've got the foot pad on.
Mm-hmm.
So I wake up, pull out the pillow, put the pillow on the other side of the bed, reach down, scoop out one cat, nice kitty, go. Scoop out the other cat, nice kitty, go. Then I could kind of scooch across the bed and hug on Siam. Mm-hmm. But usually there's this layer of stuff that's come between us.
Eventually, Sarah and Siam and the cats and the pillow will be in the bed.
Yes.
And you will be on a little cot to the side. The bed will just be end to end full of stuff.
That's one thing I'm glad about the little cat that shares Sarah's room is that she doesn't tunnel like the Siamese do. I'll wake up and she'll be curled up nicely up at the top of the bed right beside my pillow. Mm. Just a little circle, unobtrusive, not in the way. Unlike Siamese, where, oh my God, I've gone in there like after Siam's been asleep for a while, kind of turn on the hall light so I'm not turning on the... And he's spread eagle on the bed because the three Siamese have made a nest between his legs. And he is now spread eagle with his legs pried apart with three Siamese in little buns between him. It's like, and go out and remove the cat so I can have room and get into bed because his leg is now over on my side. It's like, cats, you have to share. We got a bigger bed to fit you. You have to actually let me have some of it now.
And Siam hisses at you.
Well, ages ago, we rescued a black and white cat from a gas station when we were coming back from Houston. She smelled like gasoline, and she was really friendly. We brought her back, and shortly after we got her, she turned out to be pregnant. She had her kittens. We gave some of the kittens away. We gave her away to a friend's mom, and our then-roommate kept two of the kittens. So we had... at that point, four Siamese, and then the roommate kept two, and they were all happy together. They were very, very well-adjusted cats, and then they would sleep in a pile. And I do mean a pile, because one would lie down, then the other one would curl up against it. You'd get a third, and you just get the snowdrift of cats. I have this one picture of Siam, and he's curled up in bed, face down, hugging onto something, and you have four cats between his legs, one cat beside his hips, and one cat sleeping square in the middle of his back. It's like, and you wonder, and I snapped this picture and I showed him in the morning, and you wonder why you wake up feeling stiff and sore some mornings. Let me show you.
You only have a million cats on you.
Jeez.
So, yeah. Oh, God. So, yeah, they snowdrift.
Mm. So Shiva's answer to the question is with a million cats.
Yes. Which may or may not involve lots of body heat. They like to leech it.
Who read that one?
That was Shiva.
That was me.
So is that me now?
Yeah, we got three more.
That's me.
Okay. Oh, it's you. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Then we'll be caught up. Yay.
Mm. Actually, one's pretty short, so basically two.
Yeah. So, subject, dating advice. I got my first date with another guy, and I have a gift card for the movies and one for frozen yogurt, but is it bad manners to use them on the first date? I know I never use a coupon on the first date, but it's acceptable for gift cards. Like I said, it's my first date with anyone ever. I'm only a freshman in high school, and I have no idea what it's like. Also, any advice for the date? Well, since this was sent back in September, I hope your date went well. A full month ago, actually.
If you're that... go ahead and use gift cards, and especially if you're that young.
Yeah, nobody's gonna care, because you're young and broke. So... Mm-hmm. If you've got a gift card that's good that'll cover your ass, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, neither one of you is going to be terribly picky.
Yeah.
And if they are picky, they're being shallow. Don't use coupons. That does kind of look cheap, I guess.
Yeah. Save that for when you're married.
Yeah.
And you're trying to save up the last few pennies.
Yeah.
Hey.
That's when you're saving both of your bank account.
Yep.
Okay, so next.
Okay.
This one is just...
Okay, so we could skip that one. There's really not much there.
No.
Someone was saying, hey, I've cleared space on iTunes and I can now download you again. Yay!
Funny sex stories. Dear Notcast, just a quick one here about these silly incidents I've had with my ex-roommate. The first one happened when he was down visiting me in Sydney, and he woke me up in the morning grinding his morning wood into me. Naturally, it progressed until we were both quite close to finish, when I couldn't finish because my next-door neighbor was practicing prayer in his backyard quite loudly.
Wait, what?
That's disturbing.
You have to practice that shit.
Mm-hmm. No. I can't tell God that I want to get laid. Okay, let me start over.
The only thing I can think is, like, some of the religions have, like, prayer songs.
All right.
Or I was thinking maybe he was trying to be a street preacher.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I'm practicing so that I can yell biblical verses loudly at the train station. Totally not basing this on real experience. Fuck. The second one happened when I was visiting him in Brisbane and practicing mutual masturbation. Unfortunately, I tend to lose interest rapidly after I come, and this time I thought it was the best time to do my terrible deep-voiced Batman impression, as well as giggling uncontrollably on the floor, limply jerking him off. Afterwards, he told me it was the most unfulfilling ejaculation he had. That's all. Hopefully you find them entertaining. The Fennec Fox from Australia, Rayfar. Which is almost like Prayfar, but without the P.
I'm just thinking,
oh yeah, you'd like to come, wouldn't you? Too bad. I'm Batman. I have the night. Now come in my hand.
So there yeah. We go. We have cleared our inbox.
Come for me, just like Robin does. I love orphans.
Oh, you're fired.
This is how Alfred used to put me to sleep.
So that's great.
Boom.
So again, it's going to be a couple weeks until we do another episode, due to real life getting in the way.
Well, Halloween will have passed by then. So if anybody has any Halloween shenanigans to regale us with, then please do.
And if anybody has any con reports at that point from OklaCon or Farfright, both of which are going on this weekend.
And we'll have Nightmare Nights to talk about.
Yeah, I guess we won't be recording again before Nightmare Nights, so we could totally talk about Nightmare Nights as well. So if you have con reports from Nightmare Nights here in Dallas.
This will be my third dealer's den for this year.
It's okay. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. You can do this.
In my sleep.
Off the back of your hand. Yeah, in your sleep.
Off the back of my hand?
Well, you already know the room like the back of your hand since we've had a dealer's room in it before.
It's just a flipped layout from what we've used in the past.
Oh, that shit got flipped turned upside down?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank goodness for arbitrarily being able to flip horizontally things.
Nice. Well, she even knows all about Tetris.
And, yep. And some of the things, and there's not any L-shaped tables, though, so we don't have to worry about that.
That's great. You won't have to fill in at the last minute to make an L-shaped booth.
Boom.
So, we'll call it right there. So, yep. On that note.
Good night.
And big walls. We had to like, wait, no!
It's like you said that in unison. You can't do that.
Oh, no.